Yeah. It's that money, boy. Hey.
What is up, everybody? My name is Brandon First, aka First Report, representing the ESBC Gambling Podcast Network. Today is March 26th, Thursday, 2020. Should be opening day. I should be down at Petco Park. Should be in the gas lamp drinking a beer at Bubs right now. But that isn't happening. Most baseball fans obviously know that. I'm pretty sure everyone knows that by now. But it's a bit of a bittersweet day. Something that I've taken to heart the last couple weeks with these podcasts is just a nice little distraction. We previewed the AL East. We are about to preview the New York Mets, team number 4 in the NL East. If you miss any of those podcasts, have no fear. Head to ecosystemsbusinessconcierge.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. All of our podcasts are there, whether it's baseball, political, football, college basketball, everything that you need is all right there, however you listen to your podcast. So without further ado, let's dive into the New York Mets. Look, this is a team. Last year, if we were talking about the Mets, it started with the pitching staff. I don't think it changed heading up to this year. Noah Syndergaard is the big name in terms of the news right now. That's not for a good reason, unfortunately, for the Mets fans. Noah Syndergaard will get Tommy John. It was announced a couple days ago. I talked about it on Sunday's MLB podcast. I think you're going to see this become more of a trend for pitchers and teams. Any pitcher that is somewhat close to Tommy John or in that area, maybe a little minor discomfort, or they were maybe seeing how they would go for the first couple months, they're just going to send him straight to Tommy John. I don't think that we're going to see a full season in terms of 162 games. I know there were kind of rumors about how they would do that if that was the case, if we started in June and July. Stay tuned to that, the weekend podcast. I will dive deeper into that. But stick to the Mets here this time, going back to Noah Syndergaard. That is a problem, but in terms of the Mets, it's not the biggest problem in the world. I think their strength is their pitching staff, which is great for them. Obviously, you want everyone at full health, but if you are going to lose players, at least you lose it in the strength of your team. Last year, I will say the Mets nearly snuck into the playoffs, mainly because of a second half in which they won 64% of their games. The pitching staff, the rotation notably, was key. And a lot of that was the addition of Marcus Stroman from the Toronto Blue Jays. I know the trade deadline, when the Mets made that trade for Marcus Stroman, it was very odd to me. It felt like the Mets were going to finally trade one of their big pitchers. That never happened. But obviously, I think they knew down the road Zach Wheeler wasn't going to be there. Obviously, that is another main talking point for the New York Mets, is can they survive without Zach Wheeler? I think they can, especially considering if the way you look at this rotation. We'll get to that in a minute, but I'm going to focus right now on the lineup for the New York Mets. If you do talk about the lineup, it has to start with defending Rookie of the Year, Pete Alonso. Look, can Pete Alonso hit 50 home runs again? If he can, amazing. I don't think he can. I think the ball will not be as juiced as it was last year. Go back and look at the stats in terms of the regular season versus the playoffs. The ball was just juiced. I think he's an elite power hitter. I don't think we can expect him to hit 50 home runs for the rest of his career. But I think he's got an opportunity to hit 35 to 40, maybe 45. A bit of an oddity was something that I was concerned for him about, was the fact that he participated in the Home Run Derby. We all know we can look back at the Home Run Derby and know that it's ruined players' swings, or it's fatigued them one way or another. It has had a negative effect on these players. Didn't really happen last year. Pete Alonso was pretty consistent. He obviously won the Home Run Derby. It was a great Home Run Derby. So we'll see if that carries over, or if last year he already wiped it off and we're good to go. Another question is, what about Jeff McNeil. Look, he hit 318 last year. That was a huge surprise for me personally. There were some experts that, you know, will sit there and tell you after the fact, oh, we called this. I didn't see any documented proof of that. He was a big surprise. He's a natural second baseman, but he's had to move to third base, or he can possibly play the outfield mainly to make room for Robinson Cano. Robinson Cano was acquired last offseason. He's got a huge contract for what he produces. He's an above average to average talent. He's not terrible, but for what he's getting paid, he is overpaid. But a big reason why the Mets went out and got Robinson Cano was because they were able to acquire Edwin Diaz, the closer. We'll get to him a little later. But the Mets, in terms of their bench, something I kind of dive deeper into now with the rule changes in terms of the three batter minimum. Relievers have to face a minimum of three batters coming in. No more of the one batter, and then you pull them, another batter, and then pull them. We're not doing that anymore. So that'll be something. The Mets have a great balance of lefty and righty options. They can go lefty, righty in their lineup to keep the pitchers honest. That will pretty much kill the left-handed specialist out there. And they on their bench, they have some good power bats from the left-handed side. One of the main guys is Yoenis Cespedes. Look, this is a guy, yes, he is still playing baseball. Yes, he is still on the Mets. I assume his ankle is healed. Hopefully he won't be doing any more horseback riding, or I think it was working on his ranch where he broke his ankle. I'm sure the Mets weren't terribly happy about that. But the Mets have pretty much moved on. Not moved on, but they've realized they're not going to have to they can't rely on Yoenis Cespedes anymore. He hasn't played more than a full season, or a half. He has not played more than half a season since 2016. Because of that, they pretty much moved on, and their starting three outfielders were expected to be Michael Conforto, Brandon Nimmo, and J.D. Davis. Obviously, having Yoenis Cespedes on the bench is not a terrible option to have. But the lineup overall, I think, is average to above average. There are definitely gaping holes, and this is a lineup that doesn't necessarily produce, outside of Jeff McNeil, not a ton of station-to-station baseball here. A lot of big bats, a lot of big home run talent, which, you know, it carried them almost to a playoff last year. We'll see if they can do enough. Now, turning to the strength of this team, and that is undoubtedly the pitching rotation. Look, obviously losing Zach Wheeler and Noah Syndergaard, not ideal. But the, like I said, the acquisition of Marcus Stroman, that fills one of the spots. Steven Matz, still there. This is a guy who, lefty, who came up, another one of these young rookies a couple years back that looked like he was going to be a superstar. It's kind of leveled off. And then they also have Rick Porcello, former Cy Young Award winner. He has really kind of fallen off the map in terms of numbers-wise. He won his Cy Young with the Red Sox and then pretty much just disappeared after that. Absolutely kind of astonishing. But if he can be your fourth or fifth option, that's not terrible to have. And obviously at the top of the rotation, how can you not talk about Jacob DeGrom? Jacob DeGrom has now won back-to-back Cy Youngs. And I think you have to really look at his mental state, because this is a guy, he has the last 2 years had the lowest ERA, and his team, the Mets, are 26-36 in his starts. You're talking about back-to-back Cy Young Award winner. Okay, 2 years in a row, this guy was lights out, the best pitcher in the National League, pretty much no questions asked. And the Mets are 10 games under 500. This was a team that was sniffing the playoffs. If they even get to 500, if they flip that five games the other way, maybe they are the Washington Nationals last year. Maybe they blow us all out of the water and they win the World Series. Who knows? But they have to get better run production when Jacob DeGrom is pitching, just because of the fact DeGrom has got to get to the point where the pressure to go out and pitch perfectly will eventually get to him. I mean, he's really good at pitching near perfect. His ERA shows that. But when you have a guy who has an ERA under 2.4, you should be higher. You should have a above 500 win percentage, not 10 games below 500. So that's something they have to work on. At the back end of this rotation, obviously, opens up with Noah Syndergaard being gone. This wasn't, I think, something that the Mets were probably ready for. They signed Michael Wacha to a minor league deal, or actually, I don't think it was a minor league deal. It wasn't. I apologize. But he was going to be kind of the swing man, the long reliever, maybe play the specialty guy in the bullpen if needed, extra inning guy. He's probably going to be pressed into action. It could be possible, depending on when this season gets started, that the Mets do early on run kind of a four-man rotation and maybe run a bullpen day if Michael Wacha isn't they're not terribly confident in him, but confident enough to put him on that expected opening day roster. So we'll see what happens there. We move on to the bullpen. I talked about Edwin Diaz earlier. He was pretty much the reason the Mets also took on Robinson Cano's inflated contract. Look, Edwin Diaz was bad last year. He was probably one of the worst bullpen arms in baseball, at least back end bullpen arms. And as I said, it makes matters worse when you take on a contract like Robbie Cano's just to bring this guy in. I think Diaz will have an opportunity to bounce back. I think it would be a bit premature to say that he's done or anything like that. Obviously, the Mets pretty much have to stick with him, but they did bring in Dylan Betances from crosstown rival New York Yankees. He was signed in the offseason. I would not be surprised to see him maybe push Diaz early in the season. You know, the New York media, the New York fan base, the first time Diaz starts to struggle, they're going to go straight to Betances, at least the media will. So we'll see what happens there. Diaz last year, he seemed a little on tilt. You know, a lot of these closers, a lot of their biggest makeup is their ability to bounce back and have a very, very quick short memory. Diaz struggled with that last year. Let's see if maybe this offseason he addressed that. In terms of the Mets prospects, look, I don't have a whole lot to tell you in terms of what's going to happen this year. Obviously, Pete Alonso was the big name last year and came on with a big splash. I think the Mets fans will be okay taking that 1 year of Pete Alonso. They do have their top prospect is shortstop Ronnie Mauricio. He's only 18 years old, and if everything goes as planned, next spring training, you could see him make spring training camp and maybe make a big league roster at some point next year. That would put him at 19 or 20, which would be very impressive. Obviously, the Mets would love to see that. Haven't really had a dominant shortstop since Jose Reyes left the first time. But overall, from a betting standpoint, look, the Mets are going to be a team that the betting public will naturally inflate their lines, especially when you do see Jacob DeGrom games. Jacob DeGrom games, I would probably stay away from the over-under in those games, because as much as you want to bet the under, it's going to be pretty low number. And this bullpen for the Mets isn't good. Jacob DeGrom, the days of your ace going, going seven innings, 40-50% of the time, those are done. Okay, so you're going to have to rely on this bullpen. So I think you could even go the opposite of that. Maybe on Jacob DeGrom's stats, the lines will be inflated down. So that's something to think about. In terms of when to bet against this team, I think it's you could do a lot of live betting. Go in when the team goes to the bullpen, start hitting the other team. This is a bullpen that at the back end, I mean, Dylan Betances is a good reliever, but he should not be your best reliever. He's a guy that's also injury prone, so keep an eye on that. Look, overall, in terms of the overall win the win total, it was 86.5 when we were expecting to do 162 games. I don't think that's going to happen. I personally have brought this down to a 100-game scale. That new number would then be 53, according to the 86.5 number. So there's Vegas would say 53 and 47. I like the under in this. I know I talked about this past weekend how I think the Mets could possibly win the National League pennant. I think they were my third or fourth contender in that on my first five. I think that took a bit of a hit with Noah Syndergaard going down. I don't think you can just take Noah Syndergaard out and put Michael Wacha in and everything is okay. I don't think it works like that. I want the under in this one, mainly because of the talent in this division. I've been kind of a broken record in been talking about pretty much every team not named the Miami Marlins in this division. They are going to have a tough time. They have to be on their A game. They're going to play a high majority of their games in the division. I assume. I don't know how the schedule is going to play out. That is another wild card that could be thought about. But until we pretty much know how many games we're going to play, I don't think we can really start to speculate on who they're going to play. But that's another one. But you'd have to imagine that you're going to have to play a high majority of your games in your division. They play a highly competitive division, or play in a highly competitive division. So I think that will pull the number down. I like them around the 49, 50, 51. Who knows? Maybe, I mean, if the Mets take another shot to their injury, or their injury list takes another hit, if DeGrom goes down, Code Red, they go down fast. Even Mats or Porcello goes down, it's time to start to get worried. Stroman's been pretty healthy, and I think Stroman can keep everything together. I don't think you have to worry about him from an injury list or from an injury perspective, but who knows? It's been a bit of an odd offseason and obviously an odd lead up to whenever we get to that. So once again, thank you so much for listening. That's really all I have for you today. I will continue on and finish up with the NL East tomorrow. We will talk about the defending World Series champs, the Washington Nationals. Plenty to get to on that. It's been such a fun division to talk about. Pretty much every team in this division, you can make a case for not only winning the division, but hey, if they win the division, they're probably one of the best teams in the National League, right up there with the Dodgers. So who knows what would happen then. Once again, my name is Brandon First, a.k.a. First Report, representing the ESBC Gambling Podcast Network. Feel free to go check out all of our podcast blogs, everything we got on ecosystembusinessconcierge.com. All of the podcasts will be available for you however you listen to podcasts, wherever you are. And if you're watching on YouTube, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, share, and leave a comment. I will talk with you tomorrow. We will talk about the Washington Nationals, and we will be one day closer to opening day and one day closer to being able to get out of the house and just be able to go see our friends and loved ones. All right? So take care, everybody. Be safe, be kind, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Once again, you can bet on that. Take care, everybody. I'm the best there is.